Our is our God. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for his promises. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Of the Lord. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Today is the day of Pentecost. Amen. This day is the day the church was born. All that Jesus did, his teachings, his life, his example, his death, his burial, and his resurrection opened a door for the church to be born. Amen. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they all began to speak in another tongue as the Spirit gave utterance. Amen. I'm very thankful for the birthday of the church. Amen. I'm very thankful for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that lives. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for your worship and joining us in the altar. If this is your first time here, or your first time in a Pentecostal church, welcome. Amen. We're not crazy, except about God. The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And that it was noised abroad in Jerusalem, and the crowd gathered round, and they were confused. They heard them speak in their own language. And there were Medes and Parthians and Elamites, and literally people from around the Mediterranean world that spoke a variety of languages. And they were all in Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. It was a feast, a Jewish feast. And so they gathered to celebrate Pentecost. And during their celebration, this Holy Ghost event occurs. Unexpected. It was a surprise. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what it meant. In fact, some of them gathered around when they came up and heard. You got to imagine, they're in an upper room in Pentecost. The windows are open. It's the beginning of summer and starting to warm up. And they're gathered and hearing people doing what we were doing just a few moments ago, speaking different languages. And they were confused by that. Well, how in the world can you speak a different language? What's going on? They heard them, the Bible says, they heard them glorify God. Do you know what glorifying God sounds like? We're used to glorifying God. What does glorifying God sound like in a Pentecostal church? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. You're worthy of praise. God, we honor you. God, we lift you up. We magnify your name. That's what they heard in their own language. But when they got there and saw who was speaking their language and making such a ruckus, what they saw was people from Galilee. Now, let me just put it in your vernacular, country bumpkins. Not intelligentsia, not linguists, not educated individuals, but farmers and fishermen and people that worked the field and labored by their hands, and they were in there magnifying God, speaking in other tongues. Read Scripture. That's what it tells you had happened. That was the birth of the church. And so they're magnifying God, and people were drawn to that. I would be drawn if somebody walked up. I've lived in foreign countries. I was raised partially in Germany as a little boy. We lived in Hong Kong as missionaries. And it was always exciting to have someone speak your own language. I spoke a little bit of Cantonese. I learned a little bit. But when I'd go to the shops and I'd try to buy something from a little Chinese lady, I would say, you know, how much in Chinese, and she would say how much, and sometimes you'd negotiate, and so I learned numbers, and I would try and tell her what I would pay in my version of Chinese, and she would lean forward and do this, and I'd say it again. She said, oh, hold on a second. You're trying to speak Chinese. Try it again. And so I'd try my version of Chinese, and she would say, oh, I know what you're saying. And then she would say it back to me, and I would be coming up with a Chinese number. And so we had to kind of negotiate the language as well as the dollar amount that we're going to buy for a particular product. One time, I had to go to the embassy. And one of our missionaries' kids had died, and I had to go to the embassy and begin the paperwork to be able to ship the missionary's child back home to the United States. It was a big paperwork mess that you've got to go through. And so I went representing them, and I can't tell you the feeling when you walk up to the United States embassy, and there's a couple 20-year-old Marine guards standing at attention in their dress blues or their dress greens, and they greet you and welcome you into the embassy, and everybody speaks the language that you speak. It's phenomenal to go to the embassy if you're in a foreign country and you've lived there, and the no English speakers lived within a long distance from where I ended up living. I lived in a Chinese environment. And we lived on the fifth floor of a walk-up, no elevator, no convenience, no central air, none of that. It was a block building. And we actually had, my second son was born while we were there. They speak Cantonese in Hong Kong in Mandarin. When you traveled into China, I had to learn a few words of Mandarin and try to speak Mandarin when you're in China. Very complicated and difficult. You hear a group when you're in a different country speaking your language, it's music to your ears. It really is. You don't understand. We have a lady that speaks French, and she wrestles with hearing in English, and she's doing really well, but when she meets a French person, she is so excited, and they just wah, 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 in French, they're so excited. So they're drawn to these people speaking their own language, but they don't understand. They don't know what it means. And so thank you very much for that. I have a frog in my throat, I suppose. So they come and show up, and they start talking amongst themselves, trying to understand this great big God thing that happens. They didn't go say, hey, we're going to go speak in tongues. The Bible says Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. And then Jesus got on a cloud and went up into heaven, Acts chapter 1. And he rides up into heaven in a cloud, and they stand there, and angels stand beside them and say, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that went up in a cloud is going to come back in a cloud, but he told you to go to Jerusalem and wait. So you guys ought to move on down the road and go to Jerusalem and wait. So after 10 days of waiting in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost shows up, and the Spirit falls, and they're all speaking in tongues, and the crowd gathers, and they're praising God and giving God glory, and they don't understand. And so they start talking to each other. Come here. They start talking to each other. Come here. Trying to figure it out. What's going on up there? What's happening up there? I don't understand. Do you understand? I understand what they're saying. They're giving glory to God, but it doesn't make sense. Those guys are, and now this is their thinking. Those guys are ignorant. They're not going to know my language. I'm from across the sea, 500 miles away from here. How can those country bumpkins know and speak my language? How could they do that? And one guy says, hey, I know what happened. They're all drunk. They're just inebriated. Now listen, my dad was an alcoholic. He'd come home drunk on a Friday night, so drunk that he'd go into the living room and think he was in the bathroom. And then my mom would have to clean up the mess. My brothers came home drunk. And I'm laying in bed as a 12 or a 13-year-old boy, and my brother grabbed the foot of the bed and began hurling on me. I woke up with my brother throwing up on top of me. I know what drunk is. I know what it does to an individual. And I've never heard one of them speak Chinese or French or German or any other tongue except for ooh. Now, ooh is a tongue. I've heard tongues a lot in my house growing up. There was a lot of throwing up in my house when my brothers came home from parties or events, or my dad would come home and be very ill because he was so drunk. I know what drunk is. Sometimes you think, well, you're the pastor, you don't know anything. I know what marijuana smells like. It's in my drawers. My brother would keep his marijuana in my drawers. He'd come in stoned. I know what stoned looks like. He never spoke in tongues when he was stoned. That's not the way you get to speak in a new language. Amen. I don't know why, but people don't have context to explain what they see and what they experience, so they try to put it into whatever context they understand. And they understand drunk, so they try to say, well, that must be some new form of drunk that they're speaking in other languages. And so the Bible says Peter got up with the 11 and stood on the balcony and said, hey, they are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen. And everybody will have the opportunity to have the Holy Ghost fill their life. Everybody. Amen. And then they preach after that. They say, well, he preached the other side of the sermon. You guys have killed. There's two sides to the sermon. There's a promise coming, but you guys killed the one that's bringing the promise. And I tell you how strong they felt about the preaching. They said, oh no, what should we do? When he said, you've slain the one that brought the promise. And they were like, well, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to fix that problem? It's a typical male response. You give a male a problem, he wants to fix it. Wives often, I'm going to preach here. Wives often want you to listen to the problem. Men don't want to listen. They want to fix. Somebody help me. My wife has to tell me, I'm not bringing this to you for you to fix the problem. I just want you to listen to me. Bite my lip and hold on. Because I know she wants to talk and tell me about it and analyze it. And I want to solve it so we can move on. And so the men are asking, how are we going to solve the problem? We realize that we're part of the problem. It's our mistake. We slayed the Messiah. How are we going to fix it? And then Peter said, well, this is what you need to do. You need to repent. If you're going to go to God, first thing you do is you repent. Amen. You don't go to God and say, God, you won me, and here I am. I'm going to solve your problems. No, you go to God with repentance. The Bible says, humble yourself. Bow yourself down. You don't have to necessarily kneel, but that's always the imagery of Scripture, is somebody kneels down. When you want to honor the king, you bow before the king. Amen. You say, you're the king, and I am not the king. And I'm telling you, God's a king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is God and only He. Only He is God. Wow. Repent. What's repentance? Repentance is basically looking at your hands and recognizing they're dirty. If you've ever had kids before, man, kids can eat and wear food. I mean, all over their face, all over their hands, up in their eyebrows. Kids can just eat and get food all over them. And when they're done, they say, okay, I'm going to go play. Can I sit on the white couch? You know, and they have no awareness. Sometimes I'm amazed at our lack of awareness that we've not followed. There's a path that God wants us to follow. And because of our lack of awareness, we're not on the path. We're living life the way we want to live it, not the way He wants us to live it. And He says, acknowledge that. Amen. Repent. Come forward, say, look, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge what I've done. David got caught with Bathsheba and took her husband and had him killed in the battle. Amen. And he thought he got away with it scot-free. Nobody knows the sins I've committed. Nobody knows that I've killed him. He thought he was home scot-free. Nobody knew about it until the preacher walked up and put his finger in the king's nose. What a dangerous job that is. Put a finger in the king's nose and said, hey, you're the man. You've sinned. You're the one that took the child or the lamb of your neighbor and offered it as a sacrifice. When you had hundreds of lambs, you stole the one lamb that your neighbor had and you offered it as a sacrifice. And David got offended by that. How could somebody steal a neighbor's one lamb? How could they do that? And then Nathan pointed at him and said, well, you're the guy that stole your neighbor's wife. And he's only got one wife. And look at all the wives you've got. And all of a sudden, David's heart smote him. And he wrote the psalm. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me, and I shall be whiter snow. And the bones that thou hast broken, God, would you remend my brokenness? God, would you recreate me? And so the idea that Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost is not a new sermon. It's not a new idea. It's rooted in the Old Testament. It's rooted in the entire Old Testament. Amen. If you're going to come to God, you start out by repentance, and then you wash. The priest had to go in. The Bible literally says when he's worshiping in the tabernacle, he's got to go wash himself in the laver of water. After he offers a sacrifice, he goes to a laver of water and washes his hands. He's got to wash all the blood off of his hands. He's got to cleanse himself, getting ready to go into worship. And so he washes his hands, and David cries out, wash me, purge me, cleanse me, amen, recreate me. So when Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, he's applying the name of the one that came down, robed himself in flesh, walked among men, preached, and was rejected by the whole world. And they offered him as a sacrifice. And he becomes a lamb slain. The Bible calls it out as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the plan of God, the purpose of God. from the very beginning is Jesus Christ dying and offering his life and his blood to cover and wash away our sins. That everything we've ever done is gone. Every sin we've ever committed is gone. What's Pentecost? Pentecost started. It started way back in the Old Testament when Moses led the people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, up to the water that was bitter that God miraculously changed into sweet water, and then gave them manna every morning and gave them birds flying down and dropping in the camp every day. Amen. They had manna in the morning and birds come in and they had meat and bread. And so they walked all the way up to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up, and we're all familiar with the idea. He comes down with the Ten Commandments, but he didn't come down with just the Ten Commandments. He came down with celebrations, periods of time that God wanted Israel to celebrate. So think about this. For 1,500 years, God said, I want you to have these feasts and celebrate. And on Passover, they were going to celebrate, pay attention, they were going to celebrate when the death angel passed over in Egypt. There was a celebration, and he said, on a certain day, at a certain time, I want you to celebrate Passover. And then, listen, what does Pentecost mean? Pentecost means 50. Say 50. Your people of Pentecost, say 50. Say Pentecost. Same thing. That's all it means. Pentecost just means 50. Pentecost does not mean speaking in tongues. Pentecost is a feast of 50 days. After Passover, listen, after Passover, 50 days later, they're going to stop and they're going to offer a celebration. What is a Passover celebration? A Passover celebration is honoring God for the first fruits of what God's going to do in the future. Listen, this is a really cool feast. They would go out to the garden and they would pick up a plant that is growing out of the ground, just a small seedling, and they'd bring part of the celebration. They did several things, but this is one of them. They'd bring a seedling to church, a little bit of corn or a little bit of wheat or a little bit of something, whatever it was they're growing. They'd pull it out and they'd bring it to church and they'd wave it unto God. Now that almost sounds silly, but it's acknowledgement, and the idea behind it is, God, we thank you for the harvest to come. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us a great harvest at the end of the season. God, we thank you that you're going to be a blessing to us in the future. God, that you're going to rain on us in the future. God, and you're going to be better to me tomorrow than you were yesterday. Amen. And there's a future in my family. There's a future in my community. There's a future, God, in my life. And I'm going to honor you for what you're going to, before they ever harvested, before it ever had fruit on it, they were going to gather and honor the Lord. Now, the Jews believe that Passover happened, and 50 days later, they were at Mount Sinai, and Moses, after spending 3 days up on the mountain, comes down out of the mountain and begins talking to Israel about what God's wanting to do, and then he goes back up and spends 40 days getting the Ten Commandments. I don't have time to tell all of the story. You want to talk about it, I'll be glad to give you a Bible study and go into more detail than you ever wanted to know. It's so valuable. So valuable to understand that God didn't come up with Pentecost as a knee jerk. One just, hey, you know what? I think I'm just pour my spirit out and let tongues happen and it's going to be a one-time event. I hear a lot of people say, well, it's a one-time event. No, it's not. No, Paul said, Way back. I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Amen. But when you pray, Paul said, when you pray, your spirit prays. Amen. And the spirit of God within you. When you're praying in tongues, the spirit of God is speaking through you. Amen. And when God speaks, what happens when God speaks? The world was formed. God spoke and the world was formed. Amen. Night and day separated. Without a moon, without stars, without the sun, night and day separated. Amen. And there became night and day. And God said, I'm going to draw a line. Night, you've got time in the nighttime. Day, you own the day. And then he created the stars. And then he created the sun. And then he created the moon. Anybody recognize night still today? I'm not sure y'all are with me. You realize God created night and he gave night an edge? There is night and night is not day. God created night and day, the word of God says. And then God created cows and hippopotamuses and elephantes and giraffes and fish. And birds. And how'd he do it? God spoke. Do you really think that you know everything that God wants to do in your life? Do you really understand everything that God can accomplish in our lives? Do you think how much God wants to do in our community? How many people God wants to reach in our community? How many addicts God wants to set free from addiction in our community? How many alcoholics God wants to set free from alcohol in our community? How many homeless God wants to save and put on a different path in our community, not just around the world, but in our community? God wants to reach people. Amen. And sometimes he has to go outside of your thinking. Sometimes, amen, God wants to do more than, are y'all still standing up here? Y'all are so faithful. Amen. I hate to leave you hanging. Thanks. Sit down. The idea that when you pray that God speaks in a way that you can't understand, boy, that freaks people out. But that God wants to speak through you, that you can't comprehend. I cannot all tell you, amen, what happened up here. Somebody spoke in tongues and somebody interpreted that. I know that happened. I can't tell you how. What did I say a few weeks ago preaching? Amen. It ain't for you to know how. God doesn't explain how. Let me say that again. God doesn't explain how. He wants you to believe that he can. Matt's dad came in. The doctors gave him 1 to 6 months to live. Three Wednesday nights ago. 1 to 6 months to live. He came down to get prayed for. We had the Sunday that we had the worship, Mother's Day. He came down here, knelt down and prayed. And we all laid hands on him and prayed for him just like we did today. He went to the doctor this last week, and the doctor said, I don't recognize him. I don't recognize him at all. He's not the same person that he was when he came in 4 months ago. He came in, he couldn't come down the aisle. He couldn't walk down the aisle without his oxygen. He couldn't kneel without his oxygen. But he walked into the hospital without his oxygen, amen, and walked all the way around the hospital, amen. God had begun a process of healing in him, and the doctor didn't recognize him when he came in because he was so much better. I'm telling you, I don't know how that happened. I don't know exactly how much healing he's got so far.
Maybe there's more healing to go. I don't know. Maybe he's already on the path and God's going to completely heal him. I don't know. And I don't know how it is. But I tell you, I don't know how Jesus spit on the ground, picked up some mud and put it in a guy's eye socket, and he came away seeing. I don't know how he spoke to the leper and the leper reached out his hand and he was healed. I don't know how the woman knelt down and touched the hem of his garment and the woman was completely. I don't know how, but I tell you what, I know who. Amen. I know who will heal. I know who will change. I know who will wash. I know who will give you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. I know who will fill you with his spirit inside of you. Amen. And make you a new creature in Christ. I know who will do that. Amen. It's the one that died for you. It's the one that loves you. I was in Prague. I've got this picture up for a reason. I was in Prague. My wife and I were preaching and teaching in a Bible school in Prague. And we stopped in the church in the castle on the hill outside the city of Prague, overlooking Prague. And they have a beautiful Catholic church, ginormous Catholic church. I've been told that it looks like Notre Dame. It's built in the image of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. It is a beautiful building. We walked around and saw nooks and naves, and kings are buried there, and they have boxes with the kings in them and all of that stuff. You walk around and see all of this. And I got back to the back door, and this was the image. I don't know if you clearly see it from where you are, but there's right here a guy, it looks like he's in a pink outfit. If you look on top of his head, he's got a tongue of fire. This person right here has a tongue of fire. That person right there has a tongue of fire. The person above them, the person in the green, the person in the blue, the person in the red. Jesus says, mommy, right there in the blue with a pink top, has the Holy Ghost fire sitting upon her head. Amen. Because everybody, 120, Jesus is mommy included, were there in the upper room receiving the Holy Ghost. And even the Catholic Church has a great big image of the day of Pentecost in their monumental church. Why? Because everybody acknowledges that's the birthday of the church. Amen. I don't want to preach. He started it at Pentecost, but he really didn't. He started it as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and then he celebrated it, and he told Israel, listen, I think this is the coolest part of it. He told Israel, I want you to celebrate Pentecost. And 1,500 years, the Jews celebrated Pentecost and didn't understand it. Didn't know what it actually meant. Didn't know what was going to happen. You see, the image of Pentecost, them offering, was not really about just the harvest in the fall. But it actually was about your family and about your community and about your home. Because I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost falls in your life, it changes you so dramatically, your marriage gets better. Your home life gets better. Amen. You're better able to raise your children. You're better able to teach your teenagers. You're better able, amen, through the power of God's Spirit, the Word of God, amen, you're better able to have an impact in the community. Amen. There's a lot of organizations that help people. I love them all. I'm not against anybody that's doing things. There's organizations that take addicts and put them in a program and try and teach them. And I'm thankful for every single program that everybody, AA, NA, BA, CA, QA, I don't care the number or the organization or the name. Amen. I'm very thankful for whatever they're doing. But I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost that makes all the difference in the world. The Spirit of God living inside of you that changes everything. Amen. We need a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need God's Spirit to reign. And what you heard today was the Bible describes as the gifts of the Spirit. After you have the Holy Ghost, Bible says he's going to give you gifts. Everybody. I believe everybody has a gift. You have the Holy Ghost, I believe you've got a gift. There's a gift of tongues. There's a gift of interpretation. We saw that happening today. It's not the greatest gift. The Bible's really clear it's not the greatest gift. But that doesn't mean it's not a gift that shouldn't be used in the church. Paul said there's a proper and a correct way to have tongues and interpretation in the church. And what you saw today was tongues and interpretation in the church. Someone spoke in tongues by the Spirit of God, and someone interpreted by the Spirit of God. They didn't understand the language. They just understood the Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit spoke through both of them to deliver what God's trying to say to the church. Amen. And God's saying to the church through them, amen, that he's here for you. He's here to help you. He's here to minister to you, strengthen you. Amen. God's here for you, and he wants to be engaged in your life. But you've got to say, God, I want you to do a work in me. I've got too many scriptures, and I don't have that much time. But I'm telling you, it's part of what God said he was going to do. Let me read just a couple of them for you. Isaiah 32 and 15. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteous remain in a fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. 44 and 3 goes on to say, I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods on dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. Amen. You know, willows are along a river, and they're just plentiful along the edges of the river. God said, I want to pour that out like that. I want you to grow and develop and spring forth. Amen. Jesus himself said, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. Now, I'm sorry, I don't have belly full of livers of rivers of living water. Not in me. It's not in me. It's not in me. But it is in God through me. Amen. And if I let God move through me, rivers. I had a preached up in Michigan. I had a Methodist pastor. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. They've always taught against speaking in tongues. Come down to the altar, look up at me after I preached the sermon. He said, I want the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And he raised up his hands and began praying. Amen. We gathered around him and prayed for him. He didn't receive the Holy Ghost right there in that service, but his daughter did, and his youth pastor has received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Amen. In a Methodist church that used to teach against it, but now they realize, amen, God's a little bit bigger than just an organized religion. Amen. God's bigger than the rules the church has. God wants to pour his Spirit out on all flesh. Amen. Everybody ought to be baptized in the Spirit. Everybody ought to receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs God to move through their life. Everybody does. And it's prophesied. The plan was laid. 1,500 years. They worshiped. They came to Jerusalem to worship on Pentecost. And then all of a sudden, they found the true reason for Pentecost. The Bible says 3,000 were added to the church that day. That day, 3,000 people were born in the water and the Spirit. They baptized 3,000. I believe 3,000 of them received the Holy Ghost that day. Ezekiel also agrees. I was sprinkled, 36 and 25, says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I give your fathers. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God. Do you understand that he prophesied through all of the Old Testament that he wanted to pour his spirit out? He prophesied that he was going to pour it out on the Gentiles. That's a prophecy. I won't take time to read everything that I've got. Amen. But he prophesied. They kept prophesying. Joel prophesies. Amen. I'm going to pour out my spirit. What do you think God wants to do today? What do you think is needed in our community? What do you think is needed in our families? I don't think it's just somebody teaching them. I think the Holy Ghost wants to wash through their lives, change their spirit, change their heart, and change their... I don't think the Holy Ghost was a singular event for a singular time. Amen. Because it was applied to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. It was applied to the non-Jew, the Gentile, in Acts chapter 10. And when Paul walked up, he saw a group of believers. Amen. There were a group of believers that had heard and believed the gospel before Christ. They didn't know anything about Christ. And he walked up and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? This is Paul, the guy that wrote 1 Corinthians, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. So it was not just a belief question. It was, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost question. And they answered back and said, hey, we haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. Why do you think I'm preaching on Pentecost? There might be somebody in the room that hadn't really heard that the Holy Ghost is for them, and I'm preaching the exact same sermon that Paul preached. Amen. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Amen. You really need to receive the Holy Ghost. You really need to have God's Spirit inside of you so he can flow out of you rivers of living water. God wants to change our world. God wants to change your world. The Holy Ghost wants to change, not by change, not wrenches, and I mean, put a new leg on you and stick a new arm on you, and you know, I mean, sew you up, and you're going to be some kind of freako. But I believe anybody in the room could go to somebody that needs healing. And if you have faith in God, not in you, parents, teach your kids to pray. Parents, teach your kids to believe. Amen. That they could go to somebody to lay hands on them. Or just stand and pray for them. The Bible doesn't say you have to lay hands, but it does say, call for the elders of the church and they're going to anoint you and lay hands on you. Amen. And their faith is going to do a work in your life. God's going to do a miracle. Amen. When you reach out and believe God, God, would you heal his body? I don't know that every person you pray for will be healed. But I know God's going to heal some of them. I know God's going to heal some of them. Amen. How do I know that? Well, Casey, you had cancer in your lungs, and it was everywhere, and it was all over x-rays all over your chest. There were little nodules absolutely everywhere in your chest. Amen. And you were hardly able to breathe, had to sit up in bed. You couldn't lay down in bed. I visited you in the hospital, scared to death, didn't know what the future was going to hold. And what happened to all that cancer? Say that again. Amen. Absolutely. Miraculously. Hallelujah. God completely healed Casey about 3 years ago. Has it been three? Amen. 3 years ago, God completely healed his cancer. Now, you're never going to come and tell me that God is not God still today, that God doesn't work miracles still today, that God doesn't answer prayer still today. You just can never come and tell me, amen, I'm telling you, you can have the faith for God to do a miracle through you, through your prayer, through your faith, to change your children. Man, I've got to quit preaching. I spent time talking with somebody this week, and they were telling me how much. Well, I wish I had a picture. Matt's dad got baptized. Matt's sister got baptized and received the Holy Ghost. Matt's mom, who is a absolute dyed-in-the-wool alcoholic. Everyday alcoholic. Wednesday night, went to church and said, I don't know what happened to my daughter, and I don't know what's happening to my ex-husband, but I want some of that. God will change generations. God will change the future of your family. God will change the future of your parents. My dad got baptized at 55 years old and quit alcohol, never did take another drink again. Amen. I'm telling you, God will change up and God will change down in your family history. Amen. God will make a difference in their lives. Amen. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. I can't preach it hard enough. I can't preach it strong enough. How much God can change your future. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will give you a different future. He'll give you a different present, and then he'll give you a different job environment. He'll give you a different conversation. He'll give you a different heart. He'll give you a different mind. He'll give you a different spirit. And I can't exactly explain how it all happens, but I know that God wants to work on your behalf. Stand with me, would you? God wants to fight your battle. God wants to be in your corner. God wants to give you direction. God wants to give you purpose. God wants to give you anointing. God wants to give you his spirit. Amen. God wants to wash away all the hurt or the anger or the bitterness. Amen. And God wants to give you a purpose that's bigger than you are. Everybody, would you just stand, bow your heads with me right where you're at? In case you're wondering if I'm preaching to you, you're exactly right. I'm telling you, not a religion, but a relationship with God. And he's already been at work long before today. Many people in this room will testify. Amen. God began working on me. God began drawing me. And I didn't even really understand what he was doing. And all of a sudden I realized, God, you care for me You love me. I don't know if you may be having an aha moment. I don't know that you understand everything that I said. I said it so fast. But let me tell you just this. On the day of Pentecost, God wants you to have your own Pentecost. And the church has been having Pentecost now for 2,000 years. In every time frame, in every continent, people have been receiving the Holy Ghost. In China, behind the Iron Curtain, they say there's 1 million people that have received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. In South America, just the Brazilian church in the last 30 years has grown to, I don't know, well over 1 million people. From a missionary flying down in a plane 30, 35 years ago, whatever it was, starting to work, it's 1 million people. In Africa, thousands and tens of thousands of people. In one crusade about 15 years ago in Ethiopia, they said 100,000 people received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I know I preached in South America, and there were 200 people in one three-night service. 200 people that received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I'll never forget the woman who was possessed by a devil, fell down in the floor, writhing out of control. Amen. We gathered around her and laid hands on her and prayed with her. God set the woman free. The spirit left her. And I'm telling you, you've never seen such a transformation in a person as she raised her hands and began receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. When I think about it, I still see her walking out the back door. She turns and looks for me and smiles and waves the biggest wave at me. Amen. What a difference in my life. Hallelujah. As she left and went home, I don't know anything about her, what happened after that, but I know in that moment, God had released her. I'm going to ask you to do this, everybody in the room. Would we do a day of Pentecost thing? Amen. Right where you're at, let's start by God cleanse us. God, if you find anything in us, God, don't let me harbor sin. Don't let me hide, God. I pray like David prayed, purge me with hyssop. God, wash me. Amen. The purpose of your sacrifice was Pentecost, the birth of the church. God, the filling, amen, your spirit in our lives. I pray, oh God. Amen. Don't let us be bound by our sin, God. Don't let us be blinded by our sin, God. I pray in the name of the Lord. Purge me, wash me, cleanse me, oh God. In the name of the Lord, God, by your Spirit, do a work in my life. Amen. In the name of the Lord. If you've never been baptized, we have a baptismal tank downstairs. We've got clothes. We'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As soon as you want to do that, we'll be happy to baptize you. Amen. But also, we need to say, God, fill me. God, not just cleanse me. Don't empty the house, God. Amen. Don't clean up the clutter, God. Don't go in my closets and empty out the stuff that's stacked up in the closets. Amen. Don't just do that. But God, move into my life. Amen. Fill every space in my heart. God, fill every space in my mind. Amen. Let your spirit, God, do a work inside of me. I pray, God, that you would rule and reign in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you do that all over the building? Would you do that? Pray that prayer. Amen. God, would you fill me? God, let me not be limited. Amen. In me. Hallelujah. Let me be unlimited in you. God, that your spirit could move through me. God, you promised out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. God, you promised we would do more than you've ever done. God, you said we're going to do greater things. Amen. Greater miracles, greater healing. Amen. Greater life change by the preached word of God. Amen. I pray, God, that you would do greater things in us. God, do greater things in me, through me, I pray. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. God, not me, but you through me. I want to open, God, and be an avenue for your presence, God. In the name of the Lord, let your Holy Ghost reign in me. Let your spirit flow through me, I pray. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray in the name of the Lord. God, let me see what I can't do, but you can do. God, let me see what I'm not able to do. Amen. But you want to accomplish, God. I pray, let my faith arise in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Lord. God, I pray. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray.
Bring me out, Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Lord. I couldn't end this service without saying the altar is open. If you'd like to pray, amen. If you want God to do a work in your life, I invite you to step out. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, I invite you to come down. God wants to do that work in your life. Amen. You just come down and, God, I release myself to you. God, have your way with me. Amen. Scripture says our tongue is our most unruly member. Come on, just yield it to the Holy Ghost. Yield it to God's Spirit. God, you can do a work that I don't understand. God, you're bigger than I can comprehend. Amen. I can't understand everything that God's doing. Amen. But God, do it anyway. I'm going to believe you for more, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. God, let your spirit have its way in my life. Amen. Unleash, God, your presence in my life. Unleash your presence in my marriage. Unleash your presence in my family, God. In the name of the Lord, God, do that in my life, I pray. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Right where you're at. Amen. Right where you're at. Would you reach over to somebody next to you? Amen. Put a hand on them. You don't know what's going on in their life. Amen. But this is a great time to pray together. Amen. This is an excellent time. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. Amen. Hungry hearts are reaching out. God, do a work in us. God, do a work through us. Amen. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, inhabit our hearts and our minds. God, that you would do that work in me. In the name of the Lord. in the name of the Lord. God can do that in your life. Amen. God can do that in your life. Come on, this is a great tabernacle of prayer right here. Scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Let's make it so. Amen. Let's make it a house of prayer. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord.